Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. This is Dr. George. Today I'd like to actually give an update on Obamacare. Things are happening pretty quickly now, and I've noticed that there's a big movement towards trying to pacify the masses by doubling down on the lies that have been used to pass this bill. I watched about a nanosecond of MSNBC yesterday because I could barely stomach it, and one of the senators, Franken, was on, saying the same nonsense that they said at the beginning about how fabulous Obamacare is and how, you know, senators need to come out to the talk shows and reconvince people of the fact. And the host mentioned the Hollywood set that's being enlisted to try to sell this, comedians and all sorts of so-called popular celebrities. It actually is just completely insulting to the American population that they think that they can hoodwink people when people are waking up to the fact that this thing is a disaster on all levels. And not only is it not about health care, but it's completely about control, which I've said for the past 2 years. Even the NSA-style information that they're gathering on folks, I don't think people realize the extent that the government is now going to have access to your personal health information. Everything that you say to your doctor, if it's on health information, electronic medical record, will be accessed and will be available for, you know, on display for any government agency that wants to take a look at it under the guise of God knows what, security. I can only imagine what they're going to come up with. Even trolling things for your, what kind of jobs you have, whether or not you carry a gun, or maybe you'd be looking for a gun and trying to get a gun permit. I can foresee how this is going to be used in very mercenary ways against you. It's really very devastating if you really think about it. Dave, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I was just getting ready for 10 minutes from now, as a matter of fact. You know, do you really feel like people are waking up? And if so, do you think they'll finally start doing something?
Well, I think people are waking up. There's the popularity. I didn't think it was possible to get much lower, except it's going towards zero. The Congress, the White House, everybody. I think most folks are figuring out that they're not, that health care and health insurance are not the same thing. I mean, we're supposed to be on our knees thanking them for giving us health insurance, like it's some sort of great manna from heaven. And in actuality, health insurance at this point, and it's always been the case, it's a mechanism for denying services to people. And it's only going to get worse when you start adding in more people. And also that meme, that myth that everybody's going to be covered, 30 million more people. In actuality, the same number of people will be covered, and the same number of people will remain uninsured, but the cost of health care and the number of people paying into the system is only going to go up. It's a complete bait and switch. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's exactly like Social Security. And that argument that, and I mentioned, and I think this is what they're trying to do, is get more young people snowed into thinking that they need to sign up to get health insurance. Apparently, they're not going to play this as, you know, you're going to get universal coverage. That's not what this rollout is. It's going to be stating how easy it is for you to get health care and how you do it. So basically, they're not telling them the tenets of the bill or where the health insurance, I'm sorry, the act. What they're trying to do is get them to sign on into these exchanges, which is the basic premise of this entire thing. The actual bill will not work. The law won't work unless you get people into these exchanges. That's how it's set up. That's how they get you to pay in. That's how they get you to buy into the system. That's how they trap you and access your health information. And once you buy in, then they have you electronically, because everything you make will be siphoned out electronically. You don't get to pay this as a separate check, it gets deducted from your paycheck, just like Medicare, just like Social Security, just like Medicaid. So once they get you, they've trapped you in the system, and there's no escape, generally speaking, unless you go on disability or you literally leave the system and stop being gainfully employed, which I would hope that's not the end game of most young folks, but you never know.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. You never know. And our kids today coming out of college, the loans that they have facing them, the job market is not there no matter what anybody says. I'm sorry, but it's not there. And they're gonna say, well, you owe me. And Obama and everybody else is in there, well, we're the big government. We'll take care of you. Just sign up here. And, you know, it's the lesson of there are no free rides. And yet, you know, I guess something has really, you know me well enough to know that I'll sit on stuff and let it fester, which is bad. But, you know, with all the problems that are facing us, and Obamacare being a central point, obviously, we were more interested, and or the media, I should say, which is the big influence on everybody today, we were more interested in the potential king of England 50 years from now than we were what was going on in the United States. And I think that says something about the about us as a populace. You know, we should be trying to solve the problems, and our infamous or whatever they are in Congress should be trying to solve our problems, and the media should be focused on putting the heat on them to solve our problems. But instead, they're on baby watch.
You know, this is a pop culture. It's a pop society. It's about celebrity. And that's exactly why they think they can get away with signing up, you know, hot celebrities to sell this law. Because we are driven by idol worship, whether it's celebritizing the president, whether it's, you know, allowing, you know, hip-hop stars to brag about going to Cuba to do God knows what. I mean, it's just outrageous. And if this goes throughout the entire population or culture, you can add this to sports as well. You know, where people, if their team loses, they get so involved that they actually commit crimes or kill people. This is not normal behavior, but it's like some sort of drug that everybody's, not everybody, thank goodness, but the way the media pushes it, it makes it seem as if most people are so involved with other people, their lives are so pathetic, that they have to live through, you know, Miley Cyrus or whatever, Kim Kardashian, to make their lives worth it.
Yeah,
I honestly don't believe that a lot of people believe that. But I think I've said it before, it's time for good people to stop being silent. It's a silent majority out there who are sitting back and for whatever reason, whether it's fear, whether it's being polite, whether it's being bullied, I can't speak to exactly what the one reason is, but we're not saying anything. And as long as that happens, this minority, I mean, look at the Congress, the Progressive Caucus, and the people who are passing these bills are not the majority of Congress. It's a very small minority pushing an agenda that's actually ruining the country. But you would think that they were the majority. And that's why, I mean, this pervades the society. But until and unless the people who actually don't like the direction that the country's going, don't like the fact that it's really moving towards an anti-God, anti-family, anti-individual direction, until we speak up, it's going to continue to move that way. Because silence equals complicity, in my opinion.
You know, there's... We're seeing some action with people, but you're right, and you know, we've talked about this, and I think it's a shame that our churches and our synagogues and I can't say our mosque, because I certainly don't. I certainly disagree with them and disagree with the Muslims. But it's a shame that our churches haven't stood up, and our preachers in the pulpit, just like our congressmen, have not stood up for what's right. And there is only one thing that is right, and that's our faith, and our faith in our God. And you know, everybody and people are applauding Texas for standing up regarding the abortion issue and no abortion after 20 weeks. Well, why not no abortion, period, or at least limit it to extreme circumstances? You know, this, like you said, we have to, as a minority, or as a silent majority, I should say, we have to take a stand, and we have to start being heard.
Well, it's only we have to do it. We can't depend on somebody else to do it. That's what it comes down to, personal responsibility in all, on all fronts, whether it's your health, whether it's talking to your congressman, your state senator, you know, your representative, your school board. I mean, this goes down to the individual. The whole direction of the country is absolutely it's spinning out of control. I mean, the things that I listen to now on TV, I listen to slightly more with a critical eye on a lot of things that are said as if they're fact. And it's a joke. I mean, listening to, watch C-SPAN, I think, yesterday, and they talked about how they need to, you know, set aside more money for education. How much money do you need to spend in education and get zero return? I mean, these kids don't know anything. They're teaching the tests. They are not critical thinkers anymore. They live in a world in at school where they're literally controlled what they say, what they think, even by the teachers. You've heard of, remember when they were running the election, people who wore, you know, Romney shirts were bullied and told to take their shorts off, and it was just this big to do. That should be unacceptable. And that's now the norm. They're talking about tracking your kid with RFID chips. You have to have special ways to get lunch. You know, you can't just go to, like, electronically, in some schools, electronically monitored. I mean, it's just, it's a police state in the school, and it's become an indoctrination camp. And they're just living for the day that this new generation becomes the next generation of adults, because this is going to be a very easy society to run. If you control the kids, you basically have everybody at that point. And those of us who are a little older, who know what it's like, what it was like before, they're just waiting us out, essentially. Either pricing us out, waiting us out, or killing us off, depending on which part of the system you're actually in.
You know, we've become, you said something, and you're right, and we've become a culture of the way to fix everything is to throw money at it. And this is what Obama's done. You know, he says we're throwing money, or we're going to give money on Obamacare. Everybody will be taken care of. We threw money at the stimulus package that we know is went the way of the wind. You know, but that seems to be the answer. Let's just throw money at it.
Yeah, but the problem is the money doesn't go where it's supposed to go. It goes to special interest groups, to cronies, to friends, to corporate interest. It doesn't go where it's supposed to go. You know, I know we have to take a break. Let's take a break and return and come back to this point, because I think it's really important. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that nasal stuffiness can cause snoring and decrease the amount of oxygen that your body receives? A decrease in oxygen to the brain can cause problems with memory and concentration, and in severe cases it can cause stroke. A decrease in oxygen to the heart can lead to high blood pressure, and in severe cases, a heart attack. Nasal stuffiness can be caused by exposure to irritants such as dust, mold, pollution, and chemicals. It can also be caused by exposure to trees, grass, and certain foods such as corn, wheat, eggs, soy, milk, and various meats. Medical treatment with nasal sprays and/or antihistamines that don't cause drowsiness can alleviate the congestion. It is important not to use over-the-counter spray decongestants, since they can be addictive and actually make breathing more difficult. See your doctor for a complete evaluation of your nose. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
Hi, this is Dave Smith. Listen every Monday to America's Web Radio, The American Dream. My past background with healthcare, being president of insurance companies, will keep you informed on healthcare and other topics that's going on in Washington and around this great country. American Dream, 10 a.m., America's Web Radio.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
And we're back to Dr. Elena George and Medicine on Call. We were talking about the cure. It's sort of like a penicillin was back in the early 50s, late 40s, early 50s. But now it's called the dollar bill. It cures everything. Throw money at it and it fixes it.
Well, as we're talking about in the break, Dave, if it were that simple and the money actually went to what it said it was going to go for, maybe it might have worked. I mean, this all started for me when they started and they passed that TARP bill. You know, first of all, everybody was against it. They asked Congress not to vote for it, and they did it anyway, which was the most blatant example of congressional disregard for their duties as representatives. And then, you know, I said to myself, I mean, it would be really nice if they take that money and they literally apply it to every homeowner's mortgage. It just got paid for them, a percentage of it. Just pay it down. That would have been fair. That would have fixed the problem. It would have allowed the money to actually go to the people. That's not what they did, though. They gave it to the banks. And the banks proceeded to deny loans to people, keep that money, become richer, and double down on the nonsense they did before, including seizing homes without deed, you know, not even having title to the house and seizing it. And I knew this whole system was kind of screwed when they didn't go to jail for it. They were exposed for doing it. Nobody ever went to jail, and the practice continued. I had a question mark at that point. And everything that they've put money behind has been the same playbook, Solyndra, with the, you know, the alternate energy fiasco. Now you've got, we talked about education, all this money going to the schools. And again, I've said this before, and if you really think about things critically, whoever controls the pocketbook controls the dialogue, controls the actions. And you made a statement about churches and synagogues at the beginning. They're getting their 501c3 or 503c, whatever it's called, they're getting money from the government, and they're now being muzzled because they're giving government money. So they can't, some people can't even talk about God in their churches. They have to take the crucifixes down. I mean, it's outrageous stuff just to maintain money. Talking to their pet parishioners about global warming and, you know, if you should cut your energy use, all sorts of nonsense, which is propaganda from the government and infiltrating the churches. Literally make sheep out of the parishioners. And it's about pacification. So it's happening on all fronts. To doctors, it's happening. When they promised us that you could get a $40,000 tax deduction for implementing electronic medical records in your practice. Again, it's paying you in order to become part of the system so that you can be a vector for this poison that the government's passing into society about government rules, individual sucks, sorry to be graphic about it, the family is non-existent, your father should be the government, and you should like it. you know, that's really what they're, that's the overall message that's being passed day in and day out in society. I, as a doctor, choose not to become a propaganda vehicle. And I hope that I'm not the last doctor. I know I'm not. But I hope more doctors wake up and don't enter the system, because once you're in there, you can't get out. And you ask me about private practice docs, and we're dropping like flies. I mean, it's about 25% private practice at this point, where they're not owned by a hospital, not in concierge practices, which means, you know, people pay for private individual practice. They're not corporate entities. They're not part of accountable care organizations. It's just doctors and patients directly dealing with each other. It's a very small number at this point and continually decreasing. And once you enter, I mean, once you sell your practice to a hospital and you decide you don't like it, you have to step away from your practice. You've lost your patients. You've lost your equipment. You've lost your whole, all the years you put into a practice is gone. It's owned by the hospital. There is no return. And that's how they get you. Once they own you, then you're stuck. You can't pull away. You can't reverse the clock. You're now part of the system.
It's divide and conquer and capture. And, you know, the sad part is both the doctors and the patients have let them get away with this. You know, I can't say that I've gone to any doctor, be it a specialist or be it my physician, care physician, that has ever approached me and said, you know, here's our problem. Please read the following two or three paragraphs describing what we're going through. You know, you wonder why doctors haven't taken this route. They have a, you know, they have a, an audience there day in and day out.
I think it comes down to the mindset of a physician. The general mindset is not to complain, just work harder. You know, find a way around it and get it done. That's the mindset of most physicians. Now, it may be a bit of apathy. Who cares? I'm biding my time until my next vacation. If you work for a hospital, it's all about your next vacation. Or I'm biding my time to 5 p.m. when I'm off. Or, you know, I'm just going to go along and get along because it's not worth it. So the morale is being decimated. And the people that that's coming into the system are just happy to have a job. Or basically just technicians. You know, they don't care about the bigger picture. They're there to get a paycheck, do what they're told, follow the hospital rules, and go home. And what that means for patients is once it's one-size-fits-all medicine, and the costs are just, you know, I mean, this is sold to us as a way of decreasing costs. From what I've seen, the costs are actually going up. I'm not talking about premiums for insurance. That's a given. They've already gone up. I'm talking about the cost of healthcare delivery. Because the hospitals now own a growing number of private practices, the cost structure, the fee scale is different. You cannot make a deal as easily with a hospital-owned practice as you can with an independent physician. That's a given. The cost structure is completely different. Then you add in the fact that when they send you for tests, you can no longer go, in some instances, to a freestanding lab. You have to use the hospital system. And that's exorbitant. We're talking about thousands of dollars of difference in tests. So you're stuck, and forget about radiology, CT scans. I've used this example before. I can send a patient to a freestanding CT center, a radiology center for a CT of the sinus for $350 as a self-pay patient. If they go to the hospital and get the same thing done, God forbid it's an ER, that could be over $1,000 in some instances. It's the same test, but a different fee scale. And that's what people are being driven into. And you add in the fact that, let's say the ER, for example, which I would never go to if I didn't have to, trust me, and anybody who's not critically ill, I'll say it again, you need to go to an urgent care, and preferably one that's run by ER physicians. That's the most cost-effective and the best care out there. if you go to an ER, and I, from an ENT point of view, they order so many CT scans because they don't know what they're doing clinically. You're now getting exposed to radiation. You're actually getting thousands of dollars added onto your bill for things that, that by right, if you were clinically astute, you wouldn't need these tests for. But they don't have ENTs on staff because they've tried to, you know, use this like slaves, and a lot of people said, I'm not going to do this, and they don't even take calls in ER anymore. And that goes for surgery and OBGYN. I mean, we have ERs that are actually run by, if you're lucky, an MD. A lot of PAs, nurse practitioners, are now in the ERs, and they're treating well above their pay grade. They're getting the job done, but it's by a lot of testing, by a lot of guessing, by a lot of misdiagnoses, and it's really maddening. I mean, I've seen the state of the ER drop from one of the best, you know, in parts of being in a hospital, you know, the fact that they could diagnose you, save your life, to being just, it's a bunch of hacks. And the people who actually care are no longer part of that system. And the smart ones have opened their own urgent care and are doing their own thing.
Doctor,
that's what this has come to.
Speaking of that, I've got a bad sore throat. I got a cough. I want to go to an urgent care. I don't want to go to an ER. Okay, and I look in the telephone directory, or most people would go online and look for the closest or look for the urgent care. And I want to take exactly what you said verbatim and go to the urgent care that at least has certified ER specialists, emergency room docs. What are the questions that I should ask before I run over to the urgent care? Call them and ask them.
First of all, ask them, do you have physicians or do you have PAs running that I'm going to see? And what's their certification? What kind of doctors are they? Are they family practice? Are they internal medicine? Or are they emergency medicine trained and board certified? And you know what? I wouldn't ask this question when I'm sick. I would start looking at it and doing my due diligence before I got sick so I knew where I wanted to go. It's all about preparation, and it's all about, you know, taking control. When you're sick and when you're actually kind of at someone's mercy, that's when you're more likely to become a victim of whatever. I don't care what it is. If it's a tornado coming through, if it's a drought happening, whatever it is, it's time to become prepared before you need the service so that you know exactly what you need to do and not get caught with your pants down, literally or figuratively, whatever you want to put, however you want to put that. But those are all questions that are valid, and if you have online, I'd look it up.
All right. With that, let's take our second break. We'll be back with Medicine on Call and Dr. Elena George right after this.
Have you heard of quantitative fluid analysis? Commonly called QFA, this test assesses your body at a cellular level and gives insight into your illness. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center offers the QFA, an FDA-approved test that can often provide early diagnosis of conditions before they can be detected with other tests. Dr. Elena George believes in an integrative approach to medicine. She believes in treating the problem and not the symptom. Following a review of your results, Dr. George will suggest treatment approaches such as nutritional counseling and or the use of pharmaceutical-grade enzymes and nutritional supplements. Surgery and prescription medication will be recommended only when necessary. Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment and mention that you heard this ad on Radio Sandy Springs and get 10% off of QFA testing.
This is Michael Gannot with the Middle East Research Center Limited, bringing you insight to Israel, the truth about the greatness of the Jewish state and its struggle for sovereignty and security, every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Okay, and we're back on Medicine on Call with Dr. Elena George, and we were talking urgent cares.
Yeah, during the break, we were talking about how do you pick your urgent care. There are urgent cares that are affiliated with the hospitals. There are urgent cares now at Walgreens. As a matter of fact, they're doubling down at what Walgreens, I think it's Walgreens, where they now want to treat chronic diseases like diabetes and high blood pressure, which is an absolute disaster. So you have a, think about the conflict of interest here for just 1 minute. You've got a pharmacy who's staffed with, you know, nurse practitioners and physician assistants who are going to see you with your diabetic problem because, hey, the line is too long to get in to see your doctor. Now that there's supposedly 30 million more people being added to the system and doctors no longer taking Medicare, et cetera, you're going to wait forever to see somebody. So you're going to think, okay, let me just mosey on over to Walgreens and get treated. And tell me what their, you know, what their conflict of interest is and how many drugs they can put you on so they can make X number of bucks off of you and just manage you. Maybe not cure you in any sense, not talk about prevention and really to do medical care, but just to literally be a conveyor belt of medication, of pill pushers, if you want to put it that way. There's something really off about that. That shouldn't be allowed to happen.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I get a queasy feeling thinking that I would be going into a Walgreens or CVS or anything else and being seen by anybody, you know, PA, nurse practitioner. I don't even want to go in and see a doctor in one of those places in that. You know, like you said, it's a conflict of interest, but also it just, you know, that's not where you see the doctor.
No, not unless you're seeing somebody who's all about signing up for the next medication.
Yeah.
And where are we now? 70% of our population is on some sort of prescription drug, yet we're the sickest that we've ever been. That's a little cognitive dissonance going in there. If you're supposed to believe that a pill will solve your problem and fix everything, then we should be one of the healthiest societies out there because goodness knows we can pound down the pills as a society. You know, I think the average is about 11 to 14 medications per person, what they're taking. Yep, we're sicker, we are dying earlier, we're living poorer qualities of life, and we're fatter than we've ever been. I mean, this is something that doesn't work here. And as long as people decide to literally buy into this mindset of, I'm just going to listen to some celebrity sell me something, I'm going to pattern my life after somebody who's ending up in rehab or what, it just doesn't even make sense to me. It's time to now stop, reassess, and take a step back because the whole situation's not working. And what we're allowing other people to do is to run our lives, to tell us that we're too stupid to think for ourselves, that, you know, we're being handled and managed from cradle to grave. That's the whole purpose of this collectivist society that we're entering, the socialized society, and medicine is now becoming, and I've said it before, being dropped in standard to the rest of the world. This is globalism 101. And if you want to see where we're going to go, all you need to do is look at the British public health system. It's falling apart. And 13,000 people, there's an article that came out, 13,000 people die per year in Britain for no reason except their public health care system is so atrocious. You know, it's neglect of the patients, being diagnosed and not being able to be treated in a timely manner, euthanasia, that Liverpool pathway where it's ingrained, where they can literally withhold your food and water until you die based on a committee from a hospital deciding your worth. And that's what we're moving towards. And that's what those bioethics committees are all about. And that's what Obamacare generally will end up doing, because there's no way that it can afford to actually give quality care to the whole country, or 30 million more people even, and not have it break the bank or stretch the resources to such a degree that you can't access it in a timely way. That's the reality. No matter how lucky they tell you you are that you'll be able to buy health insurance, you will not get what you think you're going to get. And for those people who believe that the middle class is now getting manna from heaven, courtesy of the government, they're going to have the privilege of paying $2,500 in one of this on this bronze plan, $2,500 out of pocket on top of your premiums before the insurance kicks in. And then you still have about maybe 10%, 20% coinsurance. So we're talking about major bucks coming out of your pocket, and you're going to do what I see now with my patients. You pay your premium. When you need to get something done, you can't afford to have it done because your out-of-pocket is so enormous. By definition, that's rationing of health care. And by definition, you've just incurred a tax for paying for something that you're getting nothing back from. That's reality.
And it's going to be slapping a lot of folks in the face very shortly. You know, we've got elections coming up in 2014. A lot of people are already throwing their hats in the ring, be it for Congress or governors or whatever. You know, particularly from our congressional standpoint, U.S. congressional standpoint, we should ask every candidate, make them say it, write it down, get the date, time, place that they said it. Mr. Smith, you're running for District 10 from the state of Georgia. You want to represent us in the U.S. Congress. Will you accept Obamacare as you want us to accept it? Are you going to give up all of your perks that have been voted in by your previous peers? Will you do that? And how do you and hold them to the fire? You know, if Congress had to live under the same laws that they pass that we have to live under, I think there'd be a big change. And I think we should start with the 20. We should have started many, many, many years ago, but you can't go back. So let's go forward and make the candidates responsible. They should live exactly like we do. They should have Social Security just like we do. Medicare, Medicaid, whatever. It should all, everybody should live under the same rules. They should not be exempt from Obamacare.
Oh, from your lips to God's ears on that one. But you know what? I would take a step further. I don't want them to sign a pledge. They do that all the time, and they just lie. Once you start looking at what they've done and their actions, you start to look at their record, and not what they say they're going to do, but what they've done. Because that's really more of an arbiter of what they'll do when they get in there. You know, they'll say whatever they need. That's what politicians live for, saying whatever they think you want to hear, and then lulling you into believing that they care about you and what you want, and doing whatever the hell they want. So I say maybe we need to start voting in non-politicians. You know, people who actually work for a living, who actually know what they're talking about when they enter a committee. I can't tell you all these health committee people who have no idea what they're talking about, not doctors, never practiced, yet they're running they have ultimate power over your life and death. That's ridiculous. You know, you have people on the Ways and Means Committee have no idea how to run a budget, don't budget for themselves, basically are talking out their rears, and are being driven by corporate entities that come in and write these bills for them, pay them to do their bidding, and they no longer work for us. So the whole system has to change. You know, actually, when I sound strange, but maybe we shouldn't vote at all in this next election. Just not vote. Then the system has to give. It has to change because we stop feeding this beast that you want to call, the government. The game is rigged.
Oh, no question.
So either stop playing it the way they want you to, stop being a pawn in the game, because it's what they're doing right now, whether it's race or class or sex. It's the next thing. I mean, we've got Nancy Pelosi talking about the next, you know, the talking points. And believe it or not, what she wants to do is raise the minimum wage again. Now, how do you think that's going to work for the economy when you have Obamacare already breathing down employers' necks? You add in an increase in the minimum pay rate, I'm sorry, minimum pay scale, you're going to have more people out of work. That's how I see it. How do you think that's going to play out?
It's impossible. You can't have 52% of the people taking and only 48% of the people producing.
I agree. But what they say is just what they think you want to hear with no consequences involved. You know, fairness, payment, pay fairness for women. That's another one of her planks. What does that even mean? Now we have the HUD, you know, the housing development, starting to gerrymander where you live. They're now going to look at the census. I don't know if you read this, but I was pretty shocked. And they're going to look at all over the country whether or not you've had an issue with discrimination. They're going to look at where the minorities in this country live versus the wealthier neighborhoods. And they're going to now try to engineer something so that the wealthy neighborhoods integrate, whether they like it or not, whether they were discriminating or not. Does that work in reverse, too? So if you're in a poor neighborhood or, a ghetto, basically, but they're going to engineer so they put people who have means into that. I mean, I don't even know. It's just outrageous. And no one's saying a thing about this.
I've heard exactly what or read exactly what you're talking about. It's my thing, too, is that, again, Pelosi is on I'm sorry, I can't think of the name of it, but one of the military committees. And, she has no qualifications. She's never worn boots. She's never been in the field. She doesn't know what goes on. How can she vote life or death to our children that have volunteered to be in the military? It's absurd.
Oh, how do you have Secretary of Defense who's never served in the military either? I mean, you have a bunch of bureaucrats running the system, into the ground, and they're helping their friends and their cohorts and their buddies, and it's who stands to gain? And it's never the American public at this point. It's always some entity, whether it's the UN, corporate interest, or Congress themselves. It's outrageous. You can't pass a bill that you're immune from or exempt from. And you can't pass a bill that you've never read. How do you even get on TV and brag about not reading something that you voted for? That doesn't even make sense to me.
Yeah, no, and we had the word sense. We had E.T. Williams on the other day on Who Knew, and he's the quote-unquote doctor of common sense. And just like he was saying, they don't know what they're talking about. And they do exactly what you said. They get on TV. They've gotten some clips from their staff. You should promote this. You should put this down. And they get on and like their authorities. And they have no clue what they're talking about. Yeah. There was a gentleman on from Illinois, Bobby Rush.
Oh, yeah.
Did you happen to see that?
Yeah.
At first I felt sorry for him, and then I said, wait a second, why am I feeling sorry for him? I should feel sorry for myself because it's my tax dollar that's paying for his retirement and everything else. It's sad. We need to take our final break. We'll be back with more Medicine on Call right after this.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that sleep is an important weapon against infection? Sleep is important because it is restorative. During sleep, known as REM, the body recuperates and resets. For example, the immune system increases its activity and stress hormones drop. There is a correlation between sleep deprivation and frequent colds. The average adult should get 7 to 8 hours of uninterrupted sleep per night, and a child needs more since they are growing. Sleep hygiene is important to set a good foundation. Techniques to promote good quality restorative sleep include going to bed at the same time at night, avoiding alcohol or caffeine prior to bedtime, avoiding exercise in the evening, reading to a young child at bedtime, avoidance of drinking fluids late in the evening, and avoidance of taking decongestants at bedtime. If you are having problems sleeping more than once a week, you should see a doctor for further evaluation. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call.
This is Cheryl Linker, host of the Master Gardener Hour on America's Web Radio, Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. Join us as we keep things fun and interesting as we educate you in the world of master gardening.
At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, they provide better quality care. They believe that excellent medical care is a right and not a privilege. They are concerned that the current economy has forced people to sacrifice their health. They have therefore reduced their prices to make it more affordable. They will continue to provide state-of-the-art care. They continue to believe that patient care counts above all else. Peachtree ENT Center, concierge medicine without the concierge price. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment or for more information. They are located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest, Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
We're back with Medicine on Call and Dr. Elena George on America's Web Radio. And Dr. George, thank you for doing your show. You know, maybe it is the grassroots. Maybe it's one person at a time. Maybe one person will tell somebody, I heard this. I don't know. It's we're in very scary times. And we have a bunch of people that are called representatives that only represent themselves as opposed to representing the public like they're supposed to.
Again, I don't subscribe to victimhood. I don't. And if we as a silent majority stay silent, then they think it's okay to do what they're doing. I mean, there's a lot of power in your voice and in calling your congressman and making your thoughts and your wishes heard. Everybody else does it. Why can't you?
You know, I'd like to go one step further. Not only call. And the Tea Parties have done some of this, but not only call, but get in groups, and either go and stand on the front lawn of Congress or go. You know, it didn't even have to be that. Get in a group of 10 people. Go to your congressman's office in Atlanta, mm-hmm. Georgia. Go to your congressman's office in Dallas, and let them know you're ticked off.
Let them know it's not even, you don't even have to go with that attitude. Just tell them, I'm watching you. I don't like the way that things are going. And I want to change. I voted for you. I want my vote to matter. Otherwise, I will not be voting for you again. You know, who do you serve? Do you serve me? Or do you serve whoever's paying your pocket for you to run again? You know, that's really what you need to remind them, that they work for you. And you're watching what they're doing, and you realize that they're not working in your interest anymore, and they need to go. That's how you do it, you know. And ultimately, if enough citizens do that, they realize they need your vote. They can't. They can get all the money that they want from their corporate interests, but you actually have the ultimate power of pushing that, or going to that ballot box and voting for them. So they really do have to serve you. If they don't think you're stupid and they stop disrespecting you, then they'll start working for you. But you have to demand respect at this point. It's time for people to stop being silent and start demanding respect.
Let me throw out one more. Maybe we'll have a class, How to Approach Your Congressman's Office 101. Just like I said, get a group of like-minded people. We may try to do this here at the station. Go to one of our congressmen's office with 10 or 12 or 15 of the hosts, and we'll make up signs and so forth. But plan it. Make sure you tell them that you're coming. And then call the media. Now, the media may not show up. They may say, oh, that's irrelevant. It doesn't make. But about the second or third or fourth time that you do it, then the media will start paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
You go from 10 people one day up to 100 people, the media will start paying attention. You go from 100 up to 1,000 people standing outside your representative's office, the media will pay attention. And as we know, and as we see day in and day out, the media is a big director of people's thinking. So we've got to change people's thinking. And, you know, call, and then also, in fact, I'm going to, as soon as the show's over today, Dr. George, I'm going to go on Facebook and put that in, that we should not only call our representatives, but go to their offices. That will get their attention real fast.
It will. You know, and if you can't get there, there's still other ways. You know, it's about writing them. It's about calling their offices. For those who can't do that, doesn't mean that you don't have power. Everything counts. The matter, just the fact that you're engaging the system counts. So don't use the fact that I have to take off work, that should not be an excuse. You have a telephone, you have a cell phone, you have an email account, you need to contact them. And the first thing I would contact them now about is the surveillance issue, you know, with the NSA. That's coming up. There's an amendment to curtailing the NSA's use of surveillance in the society. I'd call my congressman and tell them vote for that, you know, because ultimately it's about your freedom and your personal privacy. Obamacare is anti-privacy. You know, whatever NSA can gather, trust me, your health information is one of those topics that I'm sure that they're looking at. Why wouldn't they be? To see if you're on, you know, anti-depression, anti-anxiety medication, to monitor the FBI to see if you're asking for a carry permit, all sorts of things that can be, you know, looked at, siphoned through to see patterns, so they say, but to actually watch what you're doing and watch your behavior. And innocent people are going to get caught up in this. And for those who think, well, I'm not going to do anything wrong, you know, it's okay to do this to criminals, it's coming for you next. And it's after they come for them, they're coming for you.
That's the scary part. And people that think, just like you said, that think, oh, well, I don't do anything, they won't bother me. You own a weapon, you like to go hunting, they're coming for you. You say something bad about the government, they're coming for you. I find it just mind-boggling that we've gone, and I shouldn't be so naive as to say that it's happened overnight. It hadn't. It's been festering and coming towards us for many years now. And we've let a government dumb us down in our education. We've let them dumb us down in our health care and in our insurance that we thought we had. Unfortunately, we should all probably, or many of us, myself certainly included, should have sucker tattooed on my forehead, because I've let them get away with it. But I'm not going to let them get away with it anymore.
That's the power of realizing I've ceded too much of my own individual rights, and it's time to start taking them back. So, because that's what they want. They want you to voluntarily just give in, either by making it so hard for you to feed your family, educate your children, keep your health. It's making you dependent. That's what the whole purpose of this. Once you're dependent on the government for anything, then they have you. So self-reliance is the way to maintain your privacy, your independence, and your sanity, really. It's not normal for you to depend on the government to do everything for you. And it can't possibly do that. It's not enough money to support, you know, a whole country in a style that they're used to being supported, living in. It's not possible. The standard of living has to drop. The standard of education has to drop, because it can't be one size fits all. Everybody's different.
You know, it's sort of like, and this is coming too, if we let them get away with it. Everybody at 7 o'clock in the morning is going to eat this brand of cereal. Well, I don't like that brand of cereal. I want to eat my bacon and eggs. Well, that's too bad. You will eat this cereal or you won't eat.
Yes, and they'll say because you're going to get heart disease and cost the government more money, and it's not fair to your fellow citizens, to the collective, you know, Borg hive that you're being an individual. That's what it's coming to. And then you'll have people who are spying on you, your neighbors, to turn you in if you, you know, see something, say something. I mean, it's just insane, honestly.
If not your own family. And this was this is what we saw in Germany, kids turning their parents in. As we sit here and talk, it's just how far we've come in letting them get away. And we got to stop it. It's got to be stopped starting today. Pick up the phone, call your representative, talk to your neighbors, talk to like-minded folks, get a group together, and go visit the local office of your representative. If you're out of town, if you're out of town and your representative has an office in Atlanta or wherever you happen to be, make it a day trip. Make it fun. Have some fun with some friends, 10 or 12, 15, 20 people. But do what you set out to do, and that's to go and let your representative know what you think of what's going on.
Nope, take your power back.
You know, we should take lessons from the minorities that have done exactly what we're talking about doing. We have to. We have to be heard.
Sure.
So, Dr. George, as always, it is a delight. Tell folks right quick about I love what you're doing in your office now. Tell folks about that.
Well, I like to practice what I preach, and I like to stay out of the hospital as much as possible myself. So I'm offering a lot more services to patients, whether it's from allergy testing and treatment to sinus surgery, removal of polyps, even reduction of congestion with some nasal surgery that are all office-based now. Much more cost-effective, faster recovery. And if you want more information, you can go to my website, www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Or call 404-591-9100.
One quick question before we go. Are you seeing, because of the weather that we've had that's just been incredible in the Atlanta area, are you seeing a lot of folks complaining or having problems with mildew and mold?
Not really, but sinus allergy complaints, congestion, headaches, sinus infections.
Well,
and some asthma.
The mold can't be far behind.
No, it's ragweed season, and it's not good.
Not good. Well, we will hopefully see you next week. Certainly be on next week, but I hope that you can come into the studio and be with us. And as always, we appreciate the message that you bring to the audience.
You're welcome. Thanks for listening.
See you next week.